daughter wants to be around, and if I'm truly honest with myself, who I want to be with too. I have never felt as connected to someone as I do with him. It's as though the time we spent apart only had us growing closer together, which is crazy. Can two people belong to one another without ever actually being together? Can you love someone without knowing them? I've always believed in soulmates, and standing here in front of him, I can't deny that we're something more. I couldn't sleep, I say, instead of responding to his declaration.
Why not?
Because I was lying in bed wondering about you and why I can't seem to leave. Just a lot on my mind. Mostly him, but a lot about Kevin also. I got the court date today, and I've been struggling with it. I'm not ready to talk about what happened again. I feel like I finally got to the point where I'm not living it each day, so dragging up all those emotions in front of the court is daunting. Not because I don't want to see Kevin go to jail for what he did, but because I don't want to have to go back to feeling like I did in the days following his arrest.
Because we have a date?
A date? We have a date. My chest tightens and I rack my brain to see when I agreed to that. We do?
For the trial.
I mentally slap my hand against my head. Of course he meant the damn trial and not us. We're not dating. We're avoiding the fact that we have feelings. I'm a poster child for mental health right now. Yeah, I knew what you meant. It's just late, and I'm tired. But the trial date is good. I mean, that we have one, and it's 5 months out. I'm ready for there to be a resolution, and your lips are so close. I can feel the heat of your body as you stand so close to me. Connor's cologne fills the air around us, and I inhale, letting it fill me up.
Ellie?
Huh? I keep looking at his lips and committing the way they move when he says my name to memory. Slowly, my gaze lifts to his. I see the hunger swirling as he watches me. I want him so badly. I don't know if it's because we're standing in the dark, only the silver rays from the moon illuminating the space around us. Maybe it's the fact that he smells so damn good. Or maybe it's because I'm lonely when I'm not near him. Connor? His name is a whisper in the wind.
Yeah.
My heart is racing as I grapple with what I want to do, each second feeling like years passing until I stop allowing myself to think. I've thought so much, and it's never turned out well for me. I want to do. I want to be. I want to live. I close the distance between us so fast that he doesn't have time to react, and I press my lips to his. It doesn't take but a second for him to respond. His arms wrap around my waist, and he pulls me to him. Our lips move together softly, but the passion is so intense that I feel as though I could melt. My thumb brushes against the stubble on his cheek, reveling in the tiny prickles against my skin. He makes a noise in the back of his throat, and I swallow it as I allow him to deepen the kiss. While I may have started this kiss, Connor is leading it. His strong arms tighten as he tilts me back slightly, delving deeper into my mouth. The memories that I've clung to have faded so much more than I thought because kissing Connor is nothing like I remember. It's as if I've been living in black and white but have just stepped into full color, and the vividness of life around me is blinding. It's almost as though this isn't real and I'll awaken back in my bed in a moment. If this is a dream, I pray I sleep forever. Slowly, I move my hands from his face down to his neck as his lips trail down my jaw.
God, Ellie.
Connor's voice is deep and lusty. Kiss me. He pulls back, his eyes watching me as though he realized who he is and what we're doing.
Is this a dream?
I know how he feels. No, I'm real. We're real. His nose slides against mine, and I preen at the low grumble that comes from his chest.
I don't want to push you. I can wait. I will wait. I'll wait forever for you.
I appreciate that more than he knows. He tilts my head up to where he can watch me a little closer. I don't want you to wait to kiss me. His eyes close, and slowly, he kisses me. His soft lips touch mine gently, our breaths mingling as neither of us moves. I feel dizzy, breathless. It's almost as though I'm suspended and desperate for him to tether me to the world. I start to move toward him, unable to resist. And then I hear the only thing that could stop me. Mommy? Are you in here? I step back so fast I almost stumble and turn wide eyes to the doorway to the kitchen. Hi, sweetheart. What's wrong? Can't sleep? Need some water? Connor! She perks up as soon as she realizes he's in the room as well. I didn't know you were here too.
Hey, Squirt.
She looks to him and then to me. Let's get you something to drink and then back to bed. Maybe if I can usher her out of here fast enough, she won't ask any questions. Why are you both in the dark? So much for that idea. Connor laughs and scoops her up.
Because the lights are too bright. Let's all get back to bed before the sun comes up and we all melt.
Hadley giggles. We don't melt in the sun.
We don't.
No! Her voice is high and filled with amusement. People don't melt, Connor.
Well, look at that. You taught me something. Now, Mommy can bring you something to drink and I'll super tuck you in.
He looks back at me and winks before heading out. I stand in a daze, my fingers touching my lips, remembering the kiss we shared and wishing it were me he was tucking in too. I'm in so much damn trouble. Nate's office is exactly what I pictured it to be, which is to say, it's the opposite of Sydney's. Hers was white with gray furniture, modern decor, and nothing at all overbearing or lawyerly. Hers felt like an inviting and clean place where she wants her clients to be calm and open, whereas everything about Nate's screams, "Look at me." His desk takes up a third of the room with bookcases lining the back. He has a large leather wingback chair that's tufted and dark. There is no art, only his diplomas and a few photos of him with the mayor and other people of the county.
Do you have any questions?
Nate asks as he turns in his chair to face me. Sydney taps her pen and then looks to Nate.
What are the safety measures being taken for Hadley upon the reading of the verdict?
He shakes his head, eyes narrowed at her like she's being ridiculous.
Really, Sid?
Don't Sid me. If he's found not guilty or if he's released until sentencing, do you think he's going to leave them alone? The pit that's been sitting like a rock in my stomach turns over, sending a new wave of anxiety through me. I really wish Connor were with me, but because he's also a witness, he isn't allowed to talk to the prosecution at the same time as I am. Not like we couldn't plan some coup if we wanted to, since we live in the same house, but whatever. Nate shifts in his seat and then looks down.
I don't know. I guess we could happen to have a deputy at the school.
I would appreciate that, I say with a soft smile. I know this is hard on everyone. It's a small town. We all know each other.
It doesn't matter, Sydney cuts me off. I don't care if I knew him, you, or anything else. What I saw that night, Ellie. Well, I want to make sure this never happens to you again.
My body feels cold, and I move my hands up and down to try to ward off the chill. I never want to go through it again either. The safety and security I've started to become accustomed to is going to fade until he's found guilty. On top of that, I've been told that the time he's been held can be used toward time served. Kevin doesn't have any prior arrests, and he isn't considered to be dangerous. The fact that he was held at all still seems to have Nate and Sydney mystified. No one can control that, Sid. My biggest worry is the hearing, I admit. Nate sits up straight.
What has you worried?
The easier question to answer would be what I am not worried about. There is nothing easy about this process. I have no idea what to expect. Sure, they've gone over scenarios, but that's not etched in stone. If Kevin is released, there is no way he'll let this go. I will have ruined his life, so I'll have to pay. He isn't going to fall at my feet and apologize. We're serving him with divorce papers. I'm not at his precious house keeping things the way he wants them. Not to mention I haven't even checked on the farm. For all I know, the workers are stealing cows, and I don't care. What I do care about is my and Hadley's safety. So yes, I'm worried.
Everything.
But what if they don't believe the evidence? Nate and Sydney share a glance, and then Nathan speaks.
I can't control the way it goes. God knows I wish I could. What I can do is present the truth in the best way I know how. I'll paint the picture and hope they see it. That's why we're going to have a lot of these talks and a lot of rehashing things. I have 4 months to build a case.
That doesn't change the fact that they might not believe me, Sydney breaks in, gripping my hand in hers.
Your story doesn't change based on the ending. There is nothing we can do but tell the truth, Ellie. You're a strong, beautiful woman who has been through hell. You did what you needed to do for Hadley. You showed her what strength and courage look like. The verdict doesn't change that. We have a few months to prepare for all of this, so if he is cleared of charges, we'll have a plan in place to keep you safe. A tear falls down my face because those words from her mean everything. I don't know that I'll ever believe them, though. For so long, I thought my truth didn't matter. I saw myself as weak and stupid. No matter what others have said about me, I thought I deserved it. I knew better than to marry him. Hell, I slept with another man the night before I married him because a part of me wanted an out. I was too weak to take it. I got up, got dressed, and left without taking the chance on Connor. Now look at me. My fingers swipe at the tears that continue to fall. I'm so scared. I know you are, but you're so brave. It's not just that. For so long, he's been able to make me do whatever he wants. It's like this sick game that he plays, and it makes me feel stupid and vulnerable. And what if he's let out that day? I ask. What then? Sydney's eyes are filled with concern, but also determination. Then we will all be around to make sure you're safe. Not that you'll have to worry, because Connor will kill anyone who tries to hurt you or Hadley. I look up, fear gripping me so tightly it hurts to breathe. That's what I'm afraid of. I'll ruin someone else's life because of the mess I've made.
Chapter 21. I walk through the grass, dew sticking to my legs as I move closer to my destination. I woke up early, and since Connor and Hadley were already out working on the barn, I thought it was time to come get some much-needed advice from the people I love the most. It's been years since I've been here. Time that I've spent trying to piece my broken life together the best way I could. As the days passed, as time slipped away and my world became more complicated than I ever thought it would be, one thing has always remained steadfast. I love these people, and I know they loved me. I hold the bundle of white daisies that I picked up on my way, my hands shaking as I get closer. The smell of clean morning air swirls around me, hints of grass and a little bit of cow is inevitable. Still, I'm transported back to the day I buried them 8 years ago. That day, I stood here alone and sad, feeling as though nothing would ever be the same. And it hasn't been. The night they died forever altered my life. That person stole my family and future. Now, I'm going to get it back. Just a few more steps and I'll be able to see the plaques where their names are etched. They're small, simple, and mark the resting places of the two people who were most dear to me. I stop. My heart is racing as I stare down. The grass is overgrown to the point where I can barely make out the names, but there's a bouquet of dried-up flowers lying above them. Hi, Mom, I say as I squat, tearing the blades away to reveal what should have never been forgotten. I know it's been a while and, well, a lot has happened. I'm hoping you're watching from above and know that you're a grandma to a perfect girl. Her name is Hadley because... I stop speaking as I trace the letters of my mother's name, Hadley Joanne Cody. I guess you can guess why. I needed you beside me still. She reminds me of you. She's smart, funny, has the biggest smile. Dad would love her too. She's as curious and clever as he was. You would have loved her. You both would have. I'm not sure that you'd be so proud of me, though, I confess. You see, I ran away from all the things you taught me about family and respect. I think that's why I stayed away from here for so long. I was sure you'd think I was foolish. My own heart was breaking because of the choices I made, and coming here was the last place I could go, but I was stupid, Mom. You wouldn't have judged me. You would have helped me. My mother was the best person in this world. She loved with an intensity that rivaled anything else. I've tried so hard to be that way with Hadley, to love her like it was my last day. So many times I feared it might really be, and I hoped that knowing the love I had for her was so strong that it would get her through. My own mother loved me that much, and I still didn't do right by her. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry I wasn't strong like you. I look over at the gravesite where my father rests. I'm sorry I didn't find a man like you, Daddy.
A tear falls down my cheek. I'm sorry that I was afraid and wanted to believe I could change someone. I'm sorry that I let the person who took you away go free. I don't know who was driving that car, but I want you to know that I've never forgotten. For a while, I had hope. But when the police said they had no information or any reports of damage matching the accident, the case went cold, as did my heart. I have so much to tell you, my voice shakes. A confession of sorts to the people who raised me to do better. I married Kevin, even after I told you I didn't think I would. I thought he would be like you hoped, but he wasn't. I think I knew, even in college, that there was something dark inside him. Now I'm making changes, ones that you would be proud of. I try to think about what I would say if Hadley were in my situation. I know my mother would place her hand on mine and give it a squeeze. She would tell me that I'm smart and that I know what I need to do, just to get on and do it now. I filed for divorce from Kevin after he... My voice trembles as a tear forms. He hit me. He would have killed me, and, well, he didn't because of Connor. I told you about him the last time I was here, only I didn't know his name. I bet you probably thought I would marry him since I went on and on about him. Then there's the possibility that he might be Hadley's father, which is a whole other thing. After I left Connor that night, I came here. I laid my soul bare to my parents, knowing I could never tell another soul about what I felt. I was ashamed, but also filled with hope. I told them about how he held me, cared for me, and how I was going to be okay now. He's back. And I don't know what any of it means, but I can't stop thinking about him. I want to be near him. I find myself dreaming of him during the day and then restless at night, thinking about kissing him again. I worry that it's too soon to be feeling these feelings. My hand moves against the cool metal, and I wonder if I'm being crazy. Connor and I haven't known each other long, and yet, it's as though no one else in the world has ever known me better. He's been patient, caring, and kind. I know he wants me. I can see it in his eyes, but he fights it. We both do. I care about him, Mom. I know he cares about me, but what if I'm wrong about him? What if he doesn't want us if Hadley isn't his? What if he finds out that Hadley is his and does want a family, but I'm too broken? It's too much, and I'm scared. God, I'm so scared to make the same mistakes, but I don't know how much longer I'll be able to resist him. And that's what scares me the most. If only you were here to tell me what to do, Mom.
Are you avoiding me?
Connor's deep voice causes me to startle as I stand facing the moon. Once I get my heart to stop racing, I shake my head. Not any more than you're avoiding me. Hadley went to bed 2 hours ago, and I worked on papers while Connor was out doing something on the farm. We've seen each other in passing since the kiss last night. But it's been as though we're orbiting each other, not quite able to stop the spinning. I've wanted to talk to him, but we haven't had time or Hadley has been around. I was hoping he'd find me out here so we could figure out whatever is going on between us.
Ah, that's where you're wrong. I'm not doing anything like that, Angel. I'm just working and trying to get this damn barn fixed up so we can move the cows, which your foreman said I needed to do by the end of the week.
The wind blows, pushing my hair in front of my face, and I pull the blanket that's wrapped around my shoulders a little tighter. Snow will be here soon, and it makes sense to move the cattle to the closer pasture.
How did you grow up on a dairy farm and not retain any information about running it?
Connor shrugs with that swagger I've come to look for.
I had no intention of ever living on or running one, so it wasn't information I cared about.
I guess that makes sense. Will you tell me about your childhood?
There's not much to it.
My head tilts to the side. I don't believe that for a minute.
You grew up here with three older brothers. There had to be something you can tell me about.
He moves closer, his eyes looking out at the fields in front of us.
Do you see that tree out there?
Yes.
That's where my brother convinced me that I was a descendant of Superman and that flying was in my blood. He also told me that he had a vial of kryptonite. And if I didn't take my chances on the flying thing, I would die.
I laugh once and cover my mouth with the blanket.
And did you fly?
He huffs.
No, and I broke my nose and two ribs. But,
Connor's grin grows,
the whooping that Sean got for making me do it was almost worth it. I swear that he couldn't sit for 3 days.
Boys, I say with a huff.
You have no idea. We were the town hellraisers. My mother would walk around apologizing and swearing she raised us to do better. But four boys with a lot of time on their hands and wild imaginations were a mixture she couldn't contain.
I love hearing these kinds of stories about him. I wished I had siblings.
I wished I didn't.
You would have been very lonely on this vast farm with no one to get in trouble with. Connor tilts his head to the side.
Maybe you're right. When my brothers left, it was hard on me. I was stuck here, alone, and I hated it. Although, if Mom had been alive, maybe it wouldn't have been that way.
How did she die? I ask, and immediately wish I could take it back. I remember the pain in Connor's eyes when he spoke of his mother, and I know my own when I think of mine. It's hard to lose a parent. They created you, molded you into the person you are, and when they aren't there any longer, it's as though a piece of your whole existence is gone. I've grappled with losing both of mine in an instant. There was no goodbye or a chance to say things we needed to. I have no closure, and I hope that Connor did get some, no matter how much it probably isn't a comfort.
Cancer. It was fast and it was fierce. We found out, and then it feels like I blinked and she was gone. My brothers and I were a fucking mess, but my father, well,
his voice is soft and filled with pain.
We buried him alongside her that day, only his body didn't go into the hole. He was never the same, and neither was the life we thought we had.
I reach out, taking his hand in mine. I don't know that any of us get back to the life we thought we had after tragedy strikes. Someone or something rips it away, and we're left drifting. His eyes watch mine with an intensity that makes my stomach clench.
Are you still drifting, Ellie?
I shake my head. No, I don't think I am.
Why not?
Because you won't let me. He lifts his hand, cupping my cheek as he stares down at me.
Will you let me kiss you again?
I've both wanted and avoided this moment, equal parts of me being torn apart by desire and fear. I want to kiss him again, to feel his lips on mine and give myself over to the moment. Then I worry that if I were to let myself hope for more and I lose him, it will break me even more than I already have been broken. But my resolve is not that strong. Resisting him is futile. And I'm only lying to myself when I say I want to resist. There's nothing I want more than to be his. So, I push my fear to the bottom and ask the only question left that matters. Will you hurt me, Connor?
Never.
And I believe him. Then yes, I'll let you kiss me.
Chapter 22. Connor. I wait just a beat in case she changes her mind. The first kiss was everything, but fear had me holding back, the grip I had on my restraint unyielding. This time I don't think I can hold back, but I'll try. She's everything I want and need, and she's here. I want to pull her into my arms, kiss her until she forgets every bad thing that's ever happened to her, and give her new memories filled with all the things she should have had. I want it all, and I want it with her. Slowly, I bring my other hand up and frame her face in my hands. The bruises that marred her skin a month ago are gone, leaving only her gorgeous blue eyes, which have no hint of fear in them. Each day, she heals a little more, and each day, I hope I show her the man I am. I won't hurt her. I won't ever take what she isn't willing to give. I will only cherish her, because she's a fucking angel. Our lips move closer together, each breath given over to the moment. I feel the warmth of her body as she leans in. You're everything I remembered and nothing I was prepared for, I say right before I kiss her. At first I go slow, just letting our lips touch and not wanting to scare her with the insane desire I feel for her. I keep myself in check, using every ounce of training I've endured. Patience is what she needs. And it's the last thing I feel when I'm this close to her. Her hands slide up my back, causing the blanket to fall from her shoulders, and then I kiss her like I've wanted to. My tongue slides against hers, and the taste of her is enough to make me want to fucking die. This is heaven. This is why she's an angel sent down to me. Everything about her is perfect. I moan, unable to stop myself as I kiss Ellie the way I've dreamed of for so long. Our tongues move together as I drink her in. She has no idea what she does to me, and in some ways I hope she never does. Ellie consumes my thoughts and dreams. Just a smile can set my entire world ablaze. I'm so far gone, and I don't even know how it happened. One minute I was here, in this fucking town I hate, and surrounded by ghosts, and the next I was never wanting to leave my house because she and Hadley were there. She pulls back, resting her forehead to mine.
When you kiss me like this, I can't think.
I don't want you to think, I want you to feel. Her blue eyes lift to mine, and her vulnerability humbles me.
That has always been my downfall. If I used my head more, I never would have gotten into the position I'm in.
Ellie steps back, and I let her go even though I want to hold her against me. She and I both have demons, and when they're awoken, I know how hard it is to silence them again. I don't want to take away your choices. She turns quickly.
I don't think you do. I can't make the same mistakes again, Connor. I jumped feet first into a relationship with a man who I knew wasn't right for me. I let him hurt me. I gave him power over me in a way that I never should have. He broke things inside me. Trust that I don't know can be repaired. I will never be whole or the woman who isn't a little damaged.
I move toward her, unable to stay back, but I restrain myself from touching her. I don't care if there are pieces of you that are damaged. I don't care if every inch of you is scarred. Believe me, there are parts of me that are so fucking mangled it would take a miracle to straighten them. It's not about perfection or being whole. It's you being you. Ellie looks away, tucking her hair behind her ear.
You say these things, and I have to stop myself from falling.
If you fall, I'll catch you.
What if I take you down with me?
I'll shelter you so you don't get injured.
And if you're hurt in the process?
Ellie's voice is barely a whisper. I can handle it. I inch closer, my hand lifting and tucking the other side of her hair behind her ears. What I can't handle is causing you or Hadley pain. I want to make you happy, Angel, not make you cry. Her fingers wrap around my wrist as my palm moves to cradle her jaw, but she doesn't tug my touch away.
It's just that when you kiss me, I forget myself. I can't let that happen.
I rest my lips against her forehead, trying to think of what to say to assure her. I don't want her to forget herself, only the things around her. I want to give her power and freedom. When I go to open my mouth, she lifts her head and speaks.
I want you, Connor. I think I've always wanted you, but that's not what I had. I left that night, and we can't pretend the last 8 years haven't happened. I know that you're worried that if you find out Hadley is yours, you won't be able to pull back. And I'm worried that if we don't, I won't be able to move forward.
My heart pounds against my chest. It won't matter if she is or isn't.
It matters to me.
Which is what I fear too. If she finds out that Kevin is Hadley's father, will she walk away from me? Will she fear that he'll want Hadley and run? Will she go off and not tell anyone to protect them both? I won't be able to handle it if she does. I want her to be ours. I want that night to have created something so perfect that it lives between us now. However, if it matters to her, then I'll give her the answer she wants. Damn the consequences. Is this what you need? I ask.
I think it is.
Then I'll take the test tomorrow if that's what will make you happy and feel secure.
It is. I want to know one way or the other.
I'll do anything for you, Ellie. Ellie launches herself at me. Her arms wrap around my neck, and I steady us and hold her in my arms. Her lips are on mine an instant later, and all the worries I have disappear. Maybe she's right. We can't move on if we don't face what's behind us. God, if that's true, I'm going to have a lot of baggage to unpack.
Chapter 23. Ellie. I'm so damn tired. Today was a crazy day at work. I have been trying to step out of my comfort zone and meet the other teachers, but I have horrible social skills. If they don't have kids, I have nothing to contribute to the conversation. They were talking about shopping today, and I tried. I really did. I also failed and ended up faking a stomach ache and hiding in my classroom to eat. Connor? I call out as I enter the house. Hadley? No one answers. Maybe they're both working on the tractor again. Connor finished with the barn last night and said he needed to get the equipment going next. There are so many repairs to be made that I don't know how his brothers expect him to get even half of it done before his 6-month sentence is up. Not even 6 months now. It's been almost 2 months since my assault. Time is dwindling without even knowing it. What happens when it's up? Will he stay or leave? Will I stay or leave is another question. I don't have the answers to either question. I release a sigh because I'm not ready to face any of this right now. I grab the mail off the counter and toss the bills, my bank statement for the account I never changed the address to, and then stop cold before tossing the last envelope. The DNA test results. I take the envelope and rush into my room. I can't open it without him. I can't sit here and not look, though. Hadley is my daughter, and this is her entire life, but what if the results aren't what I hope for? I knew that would be a possibility, but it would still suck. Now it's here, and while I thought that I could handle whatever the results were, maybe I was wrong. Am I ready for Connor to be her father? Am I okay with knowing that Kevin could be a part of her and will never be rid of him? There's so much at stake here. Instead of allowing myself to go down the rabbit hole, I force myself to get a grip. Connor is a good man and won't push, that much I'm sure of. He may want to, but he will never do anything to hurt Hadley or me. I have to trust that regardless of what this test says, I know my path. I'm going to get my divorce and start living the life I deserve. Whether that means Connor is part of it or not is irrelevant. I'm saving my money, working in a job I love, and somewhat living with my could-be baby daddy because my house is too scary for my daughter to be in for more than 10 minutes. Yeah, I've got it all together now. I sit on the bed, tilt my face to the ceiling, and release a heavy breath. I've got this. I need to take it step by step. First one is to find my daughter and Connor, lure him away from her, and make him open the results. Then I can freak out. Instead of any of that, I put my hand down and don't feel the comforter, but find satin. Huh? When I get to my feet and look down, there's my black satin dress that was hanging in the closet at my house. It is the only nice thing I own, and I've only worn it on very special occasions. Kevin didn't want me to dress nicely since it might draw attention to me. What is this? I ask as I pick up the note. Ellie, meet me at 8 p.m. at the bar where we met. Hadley is with Sid for the night. All is well. We deserve some time. Just us. Connor. What exactly are you up to, Connor Arrowwood? I ask aloud as I clutch the note to my chest. Regardless of whatever it is, he did something that no one has ever done before. Tried. I'm all nerves as I get out of the black town car that happened to be parked outside the house once I emerged. It was pretty impressive and very thoughtful. I smoothed the dress down and pushed my hair back. I was in a hurry to get ready since I didn't find the note until 7:30 and knew it would take about 20 minutes to get over there. Still, even with rushing around, I'm about 15 minutes late. The envelope containing the results of the DNA test is in my purse, and I worry when the moment will be right to bring it up. I step out onto the curb and am thrown back in time. It's exactly as I remember. The bar is old, with a neon sign that is still only partially illuminated, making it read R instead of bar. The windows have old shutters that are in desperate need of repair,
and the music is a low country sound that speaks to the sadness of those who come here. But inside, sadness isn't waiting for me. Connor is. I push through the door, suddenly anxious to see him, and when I take in what's in front of me, I can't breathe. Connor is the only person inside, no other patrons or even a bartender. The dingy inside has been cleaned, and the faint scent of pine and lemon is lingering under the scents of the candles lit all around the room. There's a small table in the middle of the dance floor with a tablecloth, two place settings, and a bouquet of roses. His hand casually rests on the back of the chair as he smiles and watches me.
You're late.
I smile back. I didn't get adequate notice. He starts to move toward me, not in a rush, but not overly slow either. His stride is confident, as though he knew I would come even if it took me a while.
You look beautiful.
So do you. Well, handsome. You look handsome, I correct. All the worries that plagued me are gone. Connor pushes them all the way just by being near me.
I wanted us to have a real date.
I see that. Typically, one asks the girl, right? He shrugs as he comes to a stop in front of me.
I don't think there's anything typical about us, Angel.
He's right on that one. Connor's hand slides up my arm, leaving a trail of goosebumps in its wake before his thumb brushes against my jaw.
Don't lose yourself.
His voice is low and has an edge of warning.
I'm going to kiss you, and I need one of us to have some control.
My breaths are coming in quick succession, and I can't quite keep up with what he's saying.
Control? Kissing?
Before I can think too much more on it, his lips are on mine. He kisses me softly at first, sweetly, slow pecks that cause my toes to curl. I hold on to his shoulders, needing the support because I would swear I'm melting. Then the kiss becomes more intense, and I'm not even sure what planet I'm on anymore. I feel weightless, floating off into a sea of desire where he is all that exists. The music is gone, the bar fades away, and it's just the two of us. Our mouths move together, not rough or needy, but exploratory, as though we have no time but the present. It's magical, wonderful, and I never want it to end. The sound of my heartbeat fills my ears as I open my lips for him. His tongue melts against mine, and I moan. God, kissing like this is criminal. He tilts my head to the side, urging me to give him better access, and I give it freely. I would give up everything to make this kiss last forever. My fingers dig into his shoulders as his lips move down to kiss my neck.
You were supposed to keep your wits,
he says against my skin before pressing another soft kiss at the hollow of my throat. You know what kissing you does to me? He straightens, a triumphant smile on his arrogant face.
Yes, and I like the results.
I grin and take a step back, wobbling a bit, which makes him grin wider.
Watch yourself.
Yeah, you watch yourself too. You're not as unaffected as you'd like to pretend. Connor chuckles, a deep, throaty sound that makes me want to kiss him again.
I never said I was. When it comes to you, Ellie, I have no restraint.
I think you have a lot more than you'd care to admit. He raises one brow.
How so?
Well, I've been in your house for 2 months now, and you haven't done anything more than kiss me. After the words are out of my mouth, I want to slap myself.
Did you want me to do more?
Yes. No. I don't know. I shouldn't, and that's why I'm glad you haven't. I'm still technically married, and there's this part of me that doesn't want us to do more than what we have for that reason. Not that I think any god in heaven wouldn't understand after all I've dealt with. Still, I think it's more of starting a new thing. I want my relationship with Connor to never bear any black marks. We had the night together years ago, and I should never have done that. No, that's... I cover my face with my hands. I'm not good at any of this, so please forget I said that.
Please explain,
he urges as we sit. The next time we're together, I want it to be right. No husband, no secrets, no things that are hanging over our heads. I want you and me to be everything. He reaches his hand out over the table, and I place mine in it.
I told you that I'd wait forever for you, and I mean it. I feel like these 8 years have been my training mission. I try to smile, but I feel stupid. I'm sorry.
Sorry for what?
That I'm basically telling you we have to wait until my divorce is final.
Tell me this. Can I kiss you?
Yes.
Can I hold you?
I nod. Of course.
Can we go on dates?
I hope we do. Connor smiles.
Then, until you're ready for anything more, we'll do just that. I'm not in a rush.
And what about when your 6 months are up? I ask.
Then we figure it out.
I don't know why I hoped for something else. It's unfair of me to expect him to make promises of more, and I really am grateful he doesn't. Connor tells me the truth, always. He's honest with me, knowing that I can't handle games. Okay, we figure it out, I say in solidarity.
Now, tonight, we're on our first official date, and I plan to woo you.
I lean back and extend my hand. By all means, woo away. The dinner is great. Connor and I laugh, tell more stories of when we were younger, and talk about good times. We both steer clear of heavy topics and enjoy each other's company. He had the bar serve us mozzarella sticks for an appetizer on plates he brought from home, cheeseburgers for the main course, and he had the fries separated to be our side dishes. It was cute, thoughtful, and absolutely perfect.
Tell me about your parents,
Connor says as we sit, waiting for the dessert. Not sure what to say. They were amazing, really wonderful. They died tragically, and it's all still a mystery as to what happened.
A mystery?
I nod. They never found the car that hit them, so the case went cold.
I'm so sorry.
His voice is filled with empathy. For the first time, I don't feel quite so sad. It's funny how healing happens in ways you don't realize. Before, talking about them would make me depressed, but in this moment, I want to remember the good and not the bad. I'm tired of always going back to what it was like when they died. I've been stuck for so long and, I don't know, I guess I forgot just how much my parents loved each other. It was sometimes almost gross to watch. My father was always kissing her. I laugh once. I remember one time I walked into the kitchen and he had her up against the wall. I was 16, so I fully knew what they were doing. Connor smiles.
I never saw any of that, thank God. To me, my mother died a born-again virgin.
He's so stupid. From what you've told me about your father's undying love for her, I'm going to guess that isn't true. Also, she had 4 boys in 5 years. That's a lot of sex. His face scrunches.
No, that's 1 time each, and they never touched again.
Is that what you'd want if we were together? My fingers slide against his palm. He clears his throat.
No. Once I have you, Ellie, you're going to want more time with me as well.
Is that so? Not that I doubt him in the least. I want him now. Touching him, kissing him, is a drug that I can't quit. I can't imagine how it will be when we finally make love again.
Most definitely.
I look forward to the challenge. Connor rises to his feet and comes around the table.
They say that dancing is like having sex with your clothes on.
They do?
Yes. Will you dance with me?
Now? But there's no music. He grins as he extends his hand.
We don't need it.
I place my hand in his and we walk a little away from the table, which took up most of the dance floor. Connor stops and I step into his arms. Together we sway, our cheeks resting on each other's, arms holding on to one another. He was right. We don't need music. I close my eyes and commit this moment to memory. Here we are, in the bar where we met so many years ago, dancing just like we did that night. I feel it all, the warmth of his body, the strong muscles that make me feel safe, and the way I seem to fit perfectly against him. Connor pulls back so our eyes meet.
I could stay like this with you forever.
Me too. And I want to. With him? The world is filled with possibilities and safety.
Tell me what you're thinking,
Connor urges. I want to confess it all to him because he needs to know what I'm feeling. That when I'm with you, I'm not the broken woman I sometimes feel like. That you look at me in a way I only dreamed was possible. It scares me, yes, but it humbles me as well.
I think about how much I want something more with you, even though it feels like it should be way too soon. His thumb strokes my cheek.
I think if we were anyone else, it would be. You've been mine since the night we met in this bar, when we gave ourselves to each other. It wasn't the way either of us planned. I know you, Ellie. I see you for all that you are, and I think that maybe you're just starting to see yourself.
He's the man who wants to slay dragons and has the fortitude to do it. I don't fear telling him things. He is the calm in the storm that rages around me. I shake my head, looking away. I don't deserve you. His thumb lifts my chin so our gazes lock once more.
It's me who doesn't deserve you, Angel. But I'll be damned if I'm going to give you up.
We stay like this, just moving to the sound of our heartbeats, making our own music. After a few more beats, I look up at him, hoping what I'm about to say doesn't destroy the perfect night we've been enjoying. I got something today.
Is it about the court case? I got my subpoena today, too.
No, it's not about that. I chew on my lip nervously.
Ellie.
Connor's concern is laced in my name.
I promise it'll be okay. I'll be right beside you, and with the way the judge ruled the last time, I'm sure that it'll go your way.
No, I know, it's not that. I know you won't let him hurt us, I say. I actually got something else. Results, really. I try to ignore the sliver of fear in his eyes as I walk over to my purse. I pull the envelope out and hold it in my hand. I didn't open it. I really wanted to, but I thought it should be something we do together. That is, if you want. Or I can open it and tell you. Connor steps closer, his fingers grazing mine as he takes the envelope. His eyes study the plain manila envelope with the company name and the address label before he raises them back to me.
We do it together.
I nod, unable to use my voice even if I wanted to. It feels as though something is sitting on my throat as the enormity of this moment washes over me. We're going to find out if she's his. My hands are shaking, and so are his as he lifts the paper from the envelope. Connor looks at me once more.
I mean it, Ellie. This changes nothing about how I feel. I love Hadley, and whatever is going on with us isn't going to stop because of this. If she's mine, I swear right now that I'll protect her with my life. I'll follow your lead on how we handle it because she's what matters. If I'm not, then she will never know anything different. But regardless of whether I'm her father or not, she will never fear that man again. Neither of you will.
But don't you see? Everything will change. He shakes his head.
No, it won't.
If she's yours, then you will want to make up for all the time you lost. You'll have needs because, as a parent, that's how it is. You will love in a way that you don't ever fully understand. She will become your world, as she should. And that will bring big changes for all of us. So while you think it won't, it will. Let's at least acknowledge that. Connor puts the paper down on the table and pulls me into his arms, eyes searching mine.
I have thought about you since that night we met. I've wanted you, craved you, loved you in some way for 8 years. The only thing that this will change is that the family I thought I would never have is now in front of me. The woman I thought I might have conjured up is still real, and we still have a chance to have something. Maybe something will change, but the way I feel about us and what we're doing won't.
I touch my hand to his lips, wishing that the words he spoke could somehow absorb into me because no one has ever said anything more beautiful. It won't for me either.
Good.
I kiss him once, because he's close and I can't seem to help it, and then step out of his embrace and grab the letter. With shaky hands, I lift the fold and then lower the other. And then tears fill my vision after I read the first line.
Chapter 24. Connor. I have a daughter. I have a little girl. Ellie and I have a child. That's what keeps going in my mind on repeat. It's as though I'm waiting for the ink to change in front of me, telling me it isn't real. Hadley is my daughter. Ellie's hands drop from the paper and I look into her blue eyes. She's mine.
She is.
I want to say something more than this, but nothing seems adequate enough. I wanted it so badly, but wouldn't allow myself to hope it could really happen. Hadley and I bonded instantly, and over the last few months, she's become so much more than the girl I found in the tree. I don't know what to say, I admit as I read the words over again. Ellie wipes at her eyes, and that snaps me out of it. Are you okay? She nods quickly.
I wanted this to be the results. God, I practically convinced myself it had to be. But I worried so much she wouldn't be. It was one night and we were careful. At least I thought we were. But then the timing and I'm
so fucking happy. Ellie laughs through her tears.
I am too. I wanted it to be you.
I pull her back to me and kiss her roughly. I'm over the fucking moon. I really wasn't sure I'd feel this way. Of course, I wanted her to be my daughter since the moment Ellie said it, but I couldn't know what it would feel like to find out she is. For so long, I've been resigned to being single and never having children. Now I'm standing before a woman I love and just found out that I have a daughter. My heart is racing, and I'm not sure whether I want to scream, laugh, or both at the same time. It's like everything inside me is ready to burst. I can't explain it. I wish a lot of things were different, but then... Ellie looks away and her breathing accelerates.
Connor, I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
Sorry? I have no idea what she has to be sorry about.
Sorry that I never found you. I'm sorry I married that horrible man and let him raise her. I'm so sorry she didn't know what life could have been like with you.
Ellie sobs, and I pull her to my chest. She cries, and I hold her.
I'm sorry I didn't do more for her. I'm sorry.
I can't imagine how she feels, because if her emotions are anything like what I'm enduring, she's overwhelmed. I have a little girl who I missed getting to watch grow up, but I don't blame Ellie. How the hell could she have found me? Walked around a town that I didn't live in, asking for a guy whose name she didn't know. Sure, if she knew I was in Arrowwood, it would have been different, but she didn't even have that much. You did the best you could. You didn't know she was mine until just now. You protected her, Ellie. She lifts her head and I wipe away the moisture under her eyes.
She should have never needed it.
We can't change the mistakes we've made. Lord knows I've tried to atone for mine. If she knew the things I've done to erase the things I want to forget, she might run. The day I left this town was the day I shed who I once was. All of my brothers did the same. When we were here, we were forced into a life we didn't want. My father broke us, and I've done everything I could to rebuild. I served my country and tried to do good. I've never allowed the shit that happened to affect who I am now.
I feel like I can never make this right for her or you. She should have known you. Look how much she loves you already.
And I'll be there for her the rest of my life.
You know this means everything I was worried about with the divorce won't matter. Kevin will never be able to touch her. He isn't her father and he has no rights to her.
She says as her eyes fill with relief. No, her ex will never be around Hadley or Ellie ever again. In order for that to happen, we're going to have to tell her. She takes a step back and then turns.
I know.
Do you not want to? Ellie spins around.
No, I do. But we can't just spring this on her. She doesn't know we met before. She's only ever known Kevin as her father. While I don't think she'll react badly, I think she'll be confused.
I nod. The last thing I want to do is make this harder on either of them. And even when you have an abusive parent, you still love them and want them to love you, maybe even more so than if you had a loving parent. I would beg God to let my father see that we were good kids. I wanted him to be proud of us and would often do things to earn his approval. It never came, and I was only left more disappointed until I finally stopped caring. And we'll both be there to help her through. Ellie gives me a soft smile.
We We have a daughter.
I take the step toward her, closing the distance. We do. And soon, I hope to have you.
Chapter 25. Ellie.
Mom, watch this! Hadley yells as she spins on the tire swing that Connor hung for her off the edge of the treehouse. He's been working on it at least an hour of each day, making it more special than she could ever imagine. This last week, she's been here until one of us comes to drag her home. Hadley, it's getting cold, and you have homework.
But I like it here.
I know you do, but you have to get your schoolwork done, and we have to go home to get some things. She mutters under her breath as she slogs her feet toward me.
Can't you go?
It's been months of this, and I'm starting to think it's not real fear anymore and that she just likes being at Connor's. No, we both need to go. Mainly because once the divorce happens, it won't be my house any longer, so we need to get everything out. Kevin owns all of the land and the house on his farm. I don't know anything about it, and it was his family's home, not mine, so I have no rights to it even if I wanted it.
I hate it there.
You know that nothing can hurt us there, don't you? Hadley looks up at me, her green eyes wide and trusting.
I know. Daddy's in jail.
And that is the saddest thing. She only feels safe because Kevin is in jail. I've come close to telling her that Connor is her daddy so many times. I've wanted to blurt it out instead of agonizing over every word I want to say. It's been hard knowing the truth and keeping it from her, but Connor and I decided to wait. I want Kevin to be served with the papers, which happens this week. This is also the week I'll be filing for a dissolution of paternal rights due to the fact that DNA has proven Kevin is not her father. Sydney was able to get Kevin to agree to a DNA test, and she is holding those results for legal proceedings. All of it is messy and ugly, but each step has been necessary to get him removed from my life.
All right, how about you run back and get started on your homework, and I'll meet you there in a bit.
Hadley grins and takes off running. I start back toward the house, not in a rush as I enjoy the crisp fall air. It reminds me of my mother. She loved this time of year. Our house smelled like apples, pumpkins, and spices. Baking gave her a great sense of joy, and my father loved all things horror-themed, so Halloween was his favorite holiday. I move through the tall grass, just breathing without worry. It's a totally different life for me now. I don't worry about having dinner on the table or making sure the house is immaculate. As my way of thanking Connor, I do cook and clean up, but it's appreciated, not expected. And he demands that the cook doesn't clean. So, I get to sit there after the meal and do nothing. When I get closer to the house, I see his tall frame with the sun at his back. God, he's gorgeous. His ball cap is backward, hiding the hair I love to run my fingers through, and his white shirt is straining against his muscles as he lifts the bale of hay. Apparently, farming is really freaking sexy. I stand a few feet away, chewing on my thumb as I drink him in. He tosses the bale with little effort, and I let out a soft sigh. Our eyes meet, and he flashes me one of his effortless smiles.
Hi there.
Hi yourself.
Like what you see?
Do I ever? Instead of giving him the satisfaction of my response, I shrug.
It's all right, I guess.
His voice dances with amusement.
You guess?
Well, I mean, you're okay and all. And then he lunges for me. I squeal and run, but I don't have a chance in hell of him not catching me. Connor grabs me and pulls me up into his arms. My legs kick, and then Hadley rushes outside.
Connor!
She yells, and he takes off with me in his arms.
You can't catch us.
My arms are wrapped around his neck as he circles and Hadley follows.
You got my mom!
I do, and if you want her back, you have to catch us.
I laugh as he ducks and dodges her. She laughs hysterically as she chases him, and in this moment, I'm the happiest I've ever been. There's nothing weighing me down. In his arms, running around this field with our daughter chasing us, I smile, and it feels like the world is smiling with us.
The petition for divorce has officially been filed. The judge will review the case, and regardless of whether Kevin signs it or not, he'll render a decision because Kevin's in jail awaiting trial.
I don't even know what to say. It's been months of waiting for the stupid time restriction to run out, and Sydney has been vigilant as she counted down the time until she could strike.
And the paternity?
She pulls out the copy of it.
He was served it at the same time as he received his version of the results. Do you want to see?
I nod. I know that Hadley isn't his, but it'll be nice to see it for myself.
Did you look?
No, I didn't think it was my place. I smile. Sydney has become a trusted friend, which is something I never had before. Hadley loves her, and she loves giving Connor shit. It's been fun spending time with her. Thank you, Sid.
Don't mention it, but please open the damn thing so I can stop the internal suspense.
I do as she asks, grinning as I read the results.
I take it that he's not her father?
No, I say with tears of joy. No, he's not. But we knew that already. This sort of confirms it all again.
So, Connor?
Yeah, he's her father. Sydney leans back in her chair. The look of surprise is evident on her face.
I thought so. I mean, Hadley has the Arrowwood eyes, but I wasn't sure how it could be possible.
I always hoped. She smiles.
I once did, too. Listen, Sydney says before pausing. I want to warn you, as a friend. The Arrowwood brothers have a lot of baggage. I dated Declan for what feels like my whole life. He kissed me when I was 8 years old, told me we were going to get married, and that was that. I loved him with my whole heart, and I really believed he was my forever. But he changed. Day by day, the boy I knew disappeared at the hands of his father. It was impossible to watch, but we had a plan. And then he took off and never came back. Loving those boys is easy, but losing them, well, it's not something we ever really get over.
My first instinct is to defend Connor, which is an urge I tamper down. Sydney isn't telling me this to hurt me, she's being a friend. I also hear the pain in her voice. It's clear that she's never gotten over the loss of Declan. I know they had a rough childhood. She snorts.
Ellie, whatever he's told you, double it. Those boys went through hell and it was horrible to watch. Connor bore more of it than we probably know because he was the last one living at home. Declan was the first to leave and, well, while I was in college, so was he. We were fine. It was great, even. We went to schools close to each other. But then, once Connor left for boot camp, Declan was done with me. I was depressed and shut myself off when he left.
I'm sorry he hurt you.
Me too. The sad part is that I would have run with him. I would have followed that man to the ends of the earth, but he told me to stay and that he didn't want me anymore. He wanted to start over, and that meant we were through.
Sydney may be doing the best she can to mask the hurt in her voice, but I hear it in each syllable. I also hear the love she still has for him. But Connor isn't Declan, and I'm not her. We've talked about things, and I have to believe that after everything I've been through, Connor isn't keeping some deep, dark thing from me that's going to make him run again.